Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, November the 16th. This is like a, I don't know, it couldn't be any more beautiful than it is today, Friday, here in the North Texas. It's just absolutely wonderful. I mean, sunshine. It must be 55, between 55 and 60, but it's just absolutely beautiful. What a day. What a day to be here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit. I have a post over at the American Thinker about what's happening between Cuba and Brazil. I want to talk about that. Also, I have a post coming out Saturday morning about recounts and what I believe these recounts are telling us about the Democrats. Let me just put you the headline in this way. Republicans better be ready for 2020, because these recounts, this is just the beginning of what we're going to see down the road. So we'll get into those two stories in just a second. Just a few headlines from the news today. Apparently the judge has sided with Jim Acosta and CNN on this press pass situation. Now, I don't know how final that opinion is. I don't know whether the White House can appeal it or not. As I said a few days ago, I believe that the White House made a big mistake in pulling the press pass from Jim Acosta, because I think it was clear to anybody watching that performance last week that Jim Acosta made a fool out of himself. And by pulling the pass, what they did is they changed the subject. And so my message to the White House is what I've been saying for a couple of years on these shows and in my different writings. The White House should pick its fights. It shouldn't get in a fight with everybody. And there are times when you simply have to don't pay attention. CNN is not that much of an influence. CNN is basically talking. I mean, basically what you have with CNN is they're just singing to the choir. The people who watch CNN, for the most part, hate Trump. So why pay attention to them? These people are not going to vote for Trump. They're not going to vote Republican. It's a little club, and the ratings are not that high. So why waste your time with him? My suggestion is just leave Jim Acosta alone. And if he misbehaves, yeah, you take him up. You attack him like you confront him, like President Trump did at that press conference, or Sarah Sanders does every single day in her briefings. But I just think it's a waste of time to turn somebody like Jim Acosta into a media victim. Now he's, walking around thanking all the members of the media who stood with him. It's a waste of time, Mr. President. Just leave him alone and pick your fights. You got plenty of things to fight about. Getting into fights with Jim Acosta and CNN, or Chris Lemon over at CNN. Don't take the bait, frankly. Just forget about them. They're not that important, frankly. In the overall scheme of things, Mrs. Clinton was here in town, I guess in Texas, I should say, this week, and she made a comment about what's going on in Georgia, and I thought she made an extremely irresponsible comment. She basically said that if there had been an honest election in Georgia, the Democrat would have won. Now, I don't know what information she has that none of us have, but it is just utterly ridiculous for a woman with her name and visibility and her experience to make a remark like that. And I think what it says to me is that she's pandering for the left wing, for the primary. I think she knows that the primary in 2020 is going to be very much to the left, that the party is moving to the left, and whoever wins the primary, if you want to win, I should say, the primary in 2020, you're going to have to move way to the left, because that's where the energy is going to be in the primaries. And I think that's all that comment is. It's an irresponsible comment, but it's understandable if you look at it in the context of she's pandering for the left-wing vote in the primary, because that's actually where the energy is going to be. Another extremely irresponsible comment came from Senator Harris from California, where she's asking, I guess, the person being nominated to run ICE, she's asking him a question about ICE and Nazis, or ICE and the KKK. And this is another extremely irresponsible comment by a Democrat. Look, Senator Harris represents California. California has a border with Mexico. I'm sure there's lots and lots of ICE agents who are from California who are risking their lives every day on that border. And I just think for a senator of the United States to even come up with a question like that, again, I think it's for the same reason that Mrs. Clinton is saying what she said about Georgia. I think both Senator Harris and Mrs. Clinton are angling for that Democrat primary, and they know they've got to be in the left-wing corner because that's where the energy is going to be in 2020. And one more thing that we've learned here in the last couple of days is that Mr. Avenetti, yes, we remember him. He was the attorney representing that lady who was accusing Kavanaugh of something that happened 30 years ago. But anyway, Mr. Avenetti himself is now being accused of violence. Now, I don't know all the legal details, and as I've said many times on these issues, he's innocent until proven guilty, and he deserves an opportunity to defend himself and all of that. But I just thought it was kind of interesting watching Mr. Avenetti on television saying that he's never done anything harmful to a woman and that, this is a hit job on him or whatever. And you couldn't help but sit there and look at this and go, man, 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 how does it feel now? How does it feel now, Mr. Avenetti, for you to get exactly a taste of your own medicine? Because you certainly had no concern for Mr. Kavanaugh or for his family when you were promoting all of this garbage about what he did 30 years ago. I mean, the woman that he was defending pretty much took back everything she said. So anyway, I'm not a fan of Avenetti, but I am a fan of due process, and he is entitled to due process. But I'm telling you, it was fun, actually interesting to watch. It was interesting to watch Mr. Avenetti having to deal with these kinds of accusations. Now they're saying that he was set up. Maybe he was. I don't know. That's why he'll have an opportunity to defend himself. But I couldn't help but look at that man on TV and say to myself, well, how does it feel now, Mr. Avenetti? How does it feel now? Now you know how Mr. Kavanaugh felt a couple of weeks ago when he was, and he was having to take all those questions about something that he was accused of 36 years ago. Just a couple of quick things I wanted to mention to you. We have a link on the show information for our friend Carlos Geddes. Carlos plays around town, and he's quite a music man. He puts on a lot of different shows around town. So we want you to click on that and check out his schedule just to see where he's going to be around town. And we also have a link for my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer. If you're looking for a car, click on that link, and it'll take you to his car dealer, his website, and give him a call if you're looking for a car. I'm sure he'll take very good care of you. Well, a couple of stories that I wanted to get into. Brazil and Cuba. I have a post over at the American Thinker. It turns out that Brazil is going to be changing its policy with Cuba for about 5 or 6 years. Brazil was receiving Cuban doctors. Basically, it was a farce. It was a sham. What Cuba was doing is sending doctors, renting doctors to Brazil. Brazil would then turn around and pay the Cuban government in hard currency. The Cuban government would then pay these Cuban doctors in Cuban pesos. I mean, it was a total sham. It's just a total sham. And the only purpose of this program was to put hard currency in the pockets of the Cuban government. Well, we're very happy to see that Mr. Bolsonaro, president-elect of Brazil, has taken a look at this and said, we're not going to continue it. We're not going to continue this unless we pay the doctors directly, meaning the doctors get paid in hard currency, and Cuban government allows the doctors to bring their families with them. Of course, the reason the Cuban government would not allow these doctors to bring their families is because they don't want the doctors to defect. I mean, that's a tactic of the Cuban government. When they send a diplomat overseas or even athletes who go to the Olympic events or some of the sporting events, or obviously in this case doctors, when they send you overseas, they make sure your family stays back so that if you defect, you don't get to have your family. But at the same time, they can make life miserable for your wife or your children or whatever. It's a tactic of the Cuban government. They've done this for years. And I'm glad to see that Mr. Bolsonaro is not going to play this game anymore with the Cuban government. Now, let's talk a little bit about these recounts. As you probably know, there's a controversy in Georgia where the Democrat does not want to accept the results, even though the difference between the Republican and the Democrat is something like 56,000 votes. she is somehow saying that there was vote repression or suppression or whatever it was, and that there needs to be a do-over on this election. Well, that's not the way we do elections in the United States, but that's what this lady is calling for. Then down in Florida, they've confirmed that the governor was elected, Mr. DeSantis, but now they're still counting votes. Basically, they're down to hand counting now. And the difference between Mr. Scott, the Republican, and Mr. Nelson, the Democrat, is something like 16,000 votes. There's no way that Mr. Nelson is going to make that up in the recount. I mean, it's just not possible to do. So my guess is that on Sunday, they will finally announce that Mr. Scott was elected. But the larger picture here, and you're seeing it in some of the House races, there was a House race in California where a Korean-American lady who won, who was leading on election night, now finds herself down 900 votes. And there's something going on that I think the Republicans need to understand, that this is going to be a tactic that the Democrats are going to use in 2020, where they basically, after people vote, they force these elections into recounting, and they start saying, well, you got to count these votes, you got to count these votes. And the whole process is nothing more than hoping that in the recounting, that in the addition of all the new votes, that they're going to pick up the necessary votes to overturn the lead. As I say, it's happening to this Korean-American lady, the Republican lady. She was up on election night, and now she's down 900 votes already. So I think it's a tactic, and I hope the Republicans are ready for this, because I believe that 2020 is all going to be about recounts. And every Republican running in 2020 better get ready for the fact that if you win by a point or 2 points, that there's going to be a challenge, and that the Democrats are going to use all of these games of, you know, telling people. As in fact, there is an accusation. There's a story in Politico that down in Florida, you actually had a plan by the Democrat Party telling people, hey, submit your ballot the day after, or this way or that way, so that there's a claim on it. And I think that this is what they're going to do. This is going to be part of their strategy in 2020. So I have two suggestions here for Republicans. Number one, if you're a Republican governor like down in Florida, you better clean up Broward County, and you better clean that up. I mean, that should be priority number one, because if they did it to Nelson in 2018, they're going to do it to Rubio, whoever the next Republican is, in 2020 or 2022. I mean, this has got to be cleaned up, and all the corruption in those precincts has to be rooted out in Florida. The same in Georgia and anywhere else where there may be these issues. If you're not a Republican governor, or if you're running in a state run by the Democrats, you better get ready for this. And the best way for the Republican Party, of course, to overcome this problem is to make sure that Republicans get out to vote. That's really the key. You get out to vote. If you win by a couple of points, you should be okay, because it's difficult to ask for a recount when you're a couple of points up. But I think the bottom line is that the Democrats are setting up, they're using all of these tactics in 2018 to get ready for 2020, because they're going to go for broke in 2020. They've got the presidency. There are some Senate races. By the way, speaking of the Senate races, my friend Barry Castleman wrote an article about this recently, in which he says that the Republicans are actually in a pretty good position to keep the Senate in 2020. The most vulnerable incumbent in 2020 is Doug Jones, the Democrat in Alabama. He's the most likely incumbent to lose. So what I'm saying is the Republicans have a pretty good chance of picking up or staying, you know, keeping the majority in the Senate, and they probably have a pretty good chance of picking up the House, because a lot of those seats that were won in 2018 were very competitive seats, and I'm sure there will be a very competitive reelection. But the Republicans better open up their eyes and realize that all of this recount madness and all of this recount stuff is part of a strategy. They're coming. This is how the Democrats are planning to win elections from now on. Every time a Republican wins a close election, they're going to talk about vote suppression. They're going to talk about racism. They're going to talk about this. They're going to talk about that. And the Republicans better get ready, because this is coming. This is the way it's going to be from now on. Recounts are going to be the way that Democrats win elections. So I hope the Republicans are ready for that. By the way, on this day in 1907, the state of Oklahoma joined the Union, became number 46. So hello, Oklahoma. Welcome to the Union. Nice to have you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.